Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's the second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. We'll have Bulldogs Live with Kirby Smart coming up tonight, 7:06 until 9 o'clock, and then we'll turn it over to the Braves and Phillies. We'll join them in progress at 9 in the finale of their four-game series up in Philadelphia. And then the Braves are off to D.C. this weekend to take on the Washington Nationals. And then the final homestand of the year coming up, the Phillies and the Giants next week. And then, of course, nothing says late September Braves baseball like the Kansas City Royals.
Come on, Royals, baby. Wrap this thing up.
Brett Saberhagen and his crew. That'll be at the end of the month. And then the Braves close out against the Mets up in New York. All right, but you know what? We'll worry about all that when the Braves get to the playoffs. What? Are you getting ahead of yourself?
Playoffs, Dave. Come on, man.
Playoffs.
All right. There is nobody at Buttsmere talking about Notre Dame.
That's right.
And there's nobody at 960 The Ref talking about Braves playoffs.
That's right. But we are going to talk about Notre Dame right now with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. Chip, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm sorry I can't look ahead to Notre Dame. Yeah. I'm totally focused on Arkansas yes. State.
I love the way you worded the question there, and I thought you were going to get something out of Kirby, and it just didn't come to fruition there. But here's the thing. You wrote a good and even my wife was asking me about this last night, about the attendance and the way that the tickets and all that stuff are being distributed next week and how Georgia's official capacity is actually going to be different than it normally is. So these are the kind of things that we don't really pay much attention to that are written into the contract of how things are distributed to the other team and certain guarantees that are made. But give us a little insight into what was going on when this was all put together and what it's going to look like next week for the Dogs and the Irish as far as the, I guess, the stands or the attendance or whatever it is I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah.
Terrible question. Sorry.
I'm confused now. No, I'm kidding. No, you know, it's interesting, and it's pretty cool what Josh Brooks and Greg McGarrity did to sort of make this happen. But you know, way back whenever it was 2013 or whatever, when they were brokering this game with Notre Dame, Notre Dame offered 8,000 visiting seats. And Georgia accepted those 8,000 visiting seats knowing that they didn't have those to return, right? Because, like, Sanford Stadium, I mean, Georgia's got a great situation going right now. It's a perpetual sellout in Sanford Stadium. But when you add up your season ticket commitments, your students, your band, and everything else that has to go in the stadium, Georgia doesn't have 8,000 seats left over. And whenever you make these home and home contractual agreements, each side has to agree to the same thing. So Georgia went ahead and agreed to, yes, your team can also have 8,000 tickets when you come to our place. But they did that knowing, oh, no, we don't have 8,000 seats to give them. You know, they're not going to displace their 500 loyal, students or season ticket holders or whoever it would be that would fall into that. And so they just said, well, we'll figure out when we get there. Well, between the time they brokered the game and it actually showing up, of course, the West End locker room addition and everything was built. And they just, finally resolved that they would put bleachers, aluminum bleachers, on the back of those sections and on the top of the plaza and underneath the scoreboard. And they'll put 500 extra seats there. And then rather than stick Notre Dame fans there, which would be, right behind the student section and where Georgia's recruits are and everything, they're displacing some of the UGA students, but the UGA students will be sitting behind other UGA students. So it makes sense. And then they'll just widen the the swath of Notre Dame fans and kind of, you know, slide seats here, there, and everywhere. You'd be surprised. It's like one of those little sliding puzzles to get, you know, 500, you know, different seats than you have for normal home games into the seating areas as they are. But that's what they're doing. And you know, so the bottom line was you want to accommodate your guests, which is Notre Dame, which wants 8,000 tickets from you, and you want to take care of your own constituency, and namely the UGA students in this case. And I don't think any of those kids are going to mind. We'll have to find out. Sitting on aluminum bleachers in the back of the West Plaza, but the, you know, that's got real easy ingress and egress through the stadium, and I don't think they'll mind at all sitting there. I think that'll be a pretty good seat. Probably be a pretty loud seat right there underneath the Jumbotron, right?
That's right. That's right.
I'll be honest. This is just me being nitpicky, but I'm a little bit upset that this is going to happen. I assume they're going to build these things as soon as Arkansas State gets on the bus and leaves Sanford Stadium. So this is going to take away, in my opinion, the ability for, you know, all week long, fans in town, Notre Dame fans in town, to walk in and kind of explore that plaza, which you can do all the time. I assume that might be closed all week now.
Well, that's a good point, Logan. I actually hadn't thought about that. But, my understanding is, I mean, I think on Sunday mm-hmm. or Monday, you know, they're going to start moving those in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure what it'll look like. 500's not that much.
Right.
Exactly how many bleachers and how high they'll go up and what the aesthetics will look like. Yeah. I would imagine they'll try to keep that middle gap in there, because that is, now listen guys, it's you know, we were all up there in 2017, and that truly was a transformational experience for Georgia fans, and in a lot of different ways. So you're going to see Georgia implement a lot of things that they took away from that 2017 trip to South Bend, and that was one of them, what they did right there. Because when Georgia went up to Notre Dame in 2017, and Georgia fans, everybody was delighted to find out, oh, you mean you can walk into Notre Dame Stadium anytime you want? Because they have that set up there to where you can walk in. You can't run on the field or anything like that, but you can walk in and behold, you know, the cathedral that is Notre Dame Stadium. And so when they did the West Plaza, that was one of the plans. It was like, hey, let's open this up so people can walk in there. I hadn't thought about that, Logan. You are the ultimate Georgia fan.
There you go.
Thinking about, hey, don't be impeding my view into Sanford Stadium. But I imagine, I'm just guessing here, but, you know, however many bleachers it takes to put 500 people up in there, I think they'll be able to accommodate it fairly easy. And I'm sure they're going to do it. I'm sure they have plans already to make it as aesthetically pleasing as you possibly can, you know.
Exactly. Well, I know you said you're not allowed or you're not thinking ahead to Notre Dame. So let's talk about some Arkansas State Red Wolves real quick. Coach Smart almost has me believing that this thing may come down to the last couple of possessions. What can we expect when Arkansas State rolls in this weekend?
I mean, you know, I am too. Kirby is starting to remind me more and more of Vince Dooley. Now, I am not downgrading anything he's saying about Arkansas State, because I have looked at him. And they are impressive in that way. But, you know, the way he describes them and everything, you know, by the time you get Thursday of the week as we are now, you know, I'm scared to death and just certain that Georgia could suffer, you know, what would have to be the greatest upset in the history of the school, wouldn't it?
It would put a damper on next week, that's for sure.
Yeah, just a little bit. And, you know, you got the dreaded noon start. Georgia fans will be late arriving or not arriving at all. I mean, it's just what it's going to be. And I never have begrudged fans about that. I get Saban and I get Kirby imploring people to get there, you know. But, you know, even for a good game and a big game, I was talking to a buddy of mine who travels to a lot of Georgia games. He goes everywhere. And he's just talking about the Vanderbilt experience, you know, miserably hot. Cost, you know, literally it cost everybody at least $1,000 to go up there that week. And, you know, it's 95 degrees. I think Logan told me in the break before we came here, it's going to be 98 degrees
yes,
today
it is.
In Athens. And it's just like, never mind the global warming discussions. But anyway, you know, my point is it's a lot of trouble for these fans to get here and do what they do to support the team. I mean, it just is. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Kirby and all coaches are understanding of that. But at the end, but they also, you know, they have, you know, one objective, and that's to win the football game. And they want every tool in their bag that they possibly can to do that. And one of them would be having, you know, 92,746 butts in seats, you know, at kickoff. I don't think that's going to be the case Saturday. And Georgia's just going to have to rely on their coaching acumen and athletic talent to be able to handle the Red Wolves on Saturday.
Talking with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC, and the AJC.com. I found it interesting on Monday. You may have already known this, Chip, but when Kirby was talking about, he was asked a question, I can't remember what it was, but he was talking about how their analysts look at, like, every touchdown that's scored in college football and the NFL, and they look and see if there's something they might be able to take from that, and they defensive plays and all this stuff. I guess I hadn't really thought of the scope of everything that they do over there in the Butts Mayor building with that kind of stuff. Were you aware of that? Did you find that interesting when he was talking about that?
Yeah, I was. It was many years ago, and maybe I need to do it again, though. You know, I mean, your average listener probably doesn't care to hear anything about this, but, you know, I did an open records search for just billing, you know, on their recruiting analysis side of things. I think this might have been back in 2010 when I was covering recruiting for the AJC. And, you know, I mean, it'll come to no surprise to you, I'm sure, that, you know, the University of Georgia, like all of them, they subscribe to several different, you know, recruiting, the recruiting sites. I mean, just the things that we know, like, you know, Rivals and
right.
and 24/7 and all that. But then it went much further than that, much different, you know, much deeper scouting services and all that, you know, for their recruiting analysis. And the same thing goes on opponent analysis and statistical analysis. I mean, you know, there's a lot of companies out there. You know, we see they're starting to bubble up into the public specter now. Things like Pro Football Focus, you know, those kind of things. Those have always been around as subscription-based services for football teams. So they have a ton of data that they're looking at every week. And, you know, anytime the subject delves into that, and you alluded to the question I was trying to ask Kirby this past week, is, you know, I know you're not looking ahead. I know you coach, you're totally focused on Arkansas State. I get that. But those 60 or 70 support personnel that you have over there in that building, they're not all focused on Arkansas State. I know that, coach. So can you give me an idea what the process is? Is there a team of people who are focused on Notre Dame or whatever? You know, he wouldn't go anywhere near it. He assured us that everybody in that building is focused on Arkansas State. I'm not, you know, I don't want to say I don't believe him, but I don't believe
him. Well, the thing is, he can't say that. I get it. I understand that. But what you were getting at, I think, would be very interesting. And it's not just what Georgia does in situations like this. It would be like what any school would do. How do you prepare? You can't just not prepare for Notre Dame until after the Arkansas State game is over. I mean, they've been looking at them all summer and that kind of thing. I think we all get that. It's like, I understand why Kirby doesn't want to get into all that stuff, but I agree. I think it would be very interesting to see what the process is and how schools treat games, big games that are coming up, when that's not necessarily the next game on the schedule. I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately just wanted to know. I mean, do you have, like, you know, what, you know, one person who's like the chairman of the Notre Dame group, you know, of your quality control guys, and he's the guy in charge of Notre Dame. Then you got another guy who's in charge of Auburn, another guy's in charge of, you know, Tennessee, and so on. And you know, I didn't know whether I actually didn't expect him to just to say what he said, which was essentially, I think, be untruthful. You know, I thought he might him and Hall around. Well, you know, I don't want to reveal too much about what we do. But I do think that's one of the things that Kirby Smart brought with him from Alabama. I mean, there's no question he's increased the size of Georgia's support staff, and I know those guys aren't sitting around playing tiddlywinks, you know, in the Butts Mayor building. I know they stay busy. I'm actually at the Butts Mayor building until late in the evenings because the way Georgia has it set up, we do post-practice interviews, and then we go into the areas, you know, sports information, and write our stories after practice. So a lot of times there's, you know, the building is locked up by the time I leave at night. And let me tell you, there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot, in the coach's parking lot down there, that are those quality control analysts and that kind of stuff. And they're there, you know, usually even after the assistant coaches have left for the evening to go be with their families, you know, breaking down practice tape, looking at the other team. So, I know a lot goes into it, but I guess that's just one of those, you know, behind-the-scenes worlds that, you just have to – I guess you probably have to work for ESPN or CBS to be able to get behind the scenes and take a look at it, because they're certainly not going to discuss it in a press conference forum.
Talking with Chip Towers.
Chip, the Wear Pink for Wendy campaign, you wrote a little bit about this. You spoke to the guys over at the Bulldogs Battling Breast Cancer. Tell us just a little bit more about this. And we've hinted on it a couple of times here, but I guess we're going to see some pink in Sanford this weekend.
I've covered Georgia more than I have any other team. So, I really don't have a worldly perspective when it comes to this. But I'm constantly blown away when it comes to the good hearts of the Georgia people, and this is another one of those absolute grassroots efforts. I mean, I'm sure the University of Georgia itself was going to do something to honor Wendy Anderson, or I guess ultimately to honor Blake Anderson, you know, on the occasion of her death less than a month ago, I guess, 22 or 23 days ago that she passed away from breast cancer. But, right away, early in the week, and it just started just absolutely organically on social media, Twitter and Facebook, Georgia fans say, we ought to wear pink in honor of her. And that just kept getting tweeted and retweeted and gathering momentum. And then, Bulldogs Battling Breast Cancer, which is an Athens-based charity, which has been together since 2004, when Chris Abbott played for Georgia. His mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. He played for Mark Richt, and it's typical of Mark Richt back in those days. He got the team involved, and an initiative was begun. And then I think it might have been 2006 or something like that, they were actually became a 501(c) organization. And, of course, they got wind of it, retweeted it. That got into Blake Anderson's timeline, and he kind of retweeted it and said thanks to the people who were putting this together, and it just kind of took on a life of its own, which is what the gentleman from Bulldogs Battling for Cancer told me. So now it looks like it's happening. In fact, my wife has already been feverishly trolling the internet trying to find pink UGA gear to wear on Saturday. And actually, it's out there. You just got to find it. In fact, Bulldogs Battling Breast Cancer, which I believe is bulldogsbattlingforbreastcancer.com, sells some T-shirts that are – but the thing they were telling me on there, I believe the guy's name is Dwight Standard, said that they're going fast. There's only so many that they keep on the shelf. You can order them, but in order to get them for Saturday's game, it's a pretty short turnaround. But anyway, kudos to the Georgia people, because you got this right here. You had the thing for the little girl for the love of Lindsay Urgel from Austin yeah. Peay a couple of years ago. You remember that? And the Smarts got involved and wrote a $5,000 check to that family. And then, of course, there was the outpouring for Devin Gales. I think that's one of the things that makes the University of Georgia an extremely special place. It's just the hearts of the people.
Chip, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we will see you this weekend and catch you again next week.
Okay.
Hey, I guess we'll have a little bit to talk about next Thursday, since
he'll be allowed to talk about
Yeah, and Kirby will actually be allowed to talk about, or allow himself to talk about, Notre Dame.
I may not have time to talk to you next week, Dave. I'll be too busy writing
that's,
stories.
That's right. Thanks, Chip.
All right, see you.
All right, buddy. Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com. And
without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.